just wanted to extend a huge thank you from everybody at England Netball for your ongoing support and really throwing a spotlight on our brilliant game.
You've always been a huge supporter of netball in Northern Ireland and definitely our players across the franchises as well.
You've really helped take our sport to new audiences.
Thanks to you for your continued support, and thanks to everyone out there in social media land who is keeping netball alive, and just keep doing what you're doing because we need you now more than ever.
It's a Netball Show with Mizuno and our third look at ACL injuries in the sport. We're going to hear from Hannah Hendricks shortly, get the thoughts of Katie Stokes and Pulse's Daniel Lavipore. But first we're going to hear from Ellie Gibbons from Stars, who's finally completed her rehab.
Really excited. Had my last kind of gym physio session at the weekend, and now we'll be doing like court preparations to get back into like contact netball. So it's been a long time, but I'm very excited. I'm ready to get flattened by Nia Jones at training again, so looking forward to that.
Was the end of November already, I suppose, in the rehab diary? Was that a target, or would you say you'd maybe finished early?
Yeah, to be honest, I think with how everything's been this year, we kind of had no clue, really. A general idea was around December to get back into training, and obviously we've got in there a couple of days early, so that's great. But yeah, I think it's a testament to Kieran's work and like how supportive Stars have been, and that I'm back on track sooner than I could have hoped for. So very happy.
He was on your shoulder last time we had words. So how good has he been throughout this whole process for you?
He's been unreal. He's been so good. And, you know, to have done that all throughout his lockdown as well, he's gone above and beyond what he ever needed to do. Not just, you know, delivering the physio, but also I would consider him a really close friend now. And I know I could go to him. He kind of knows things that happen in my head before I even know that they're happening in my head. So it's quite good to have. Because obviously there's like a bit of that mental element when you're getting back to playing as well after like an injury like an ACL. So it's good to have someone like him every step of the way.
And naturally, he's been around Stars as well, which I expect you would have had a first couple of sessions as well. So have you been watching each other out the corner of your eye? Has he been reeling you back a bit?
Yeah, he's been kind of giving me the look from across the hall, and I'm like, you know, when I'm doing something, I'm like, well, should I be doing this? So I'm just trying to avoid any eye contact before I'm told off. But no, it's good to have him there, because perhaps I wouldn't rein myself in, especially when all the girls, you know, are around me and I feel capable. It's just good to have him there. I know he's got all my best interests at heart, and as you know, he always says to me, I will never hold you back. But you know, when you do need to, you need to be doing the things that you need to be doing at the right time. We don't want to throw everything away just for the sake of a few weeks, so to speak.
Yeah, has it been nice? Obviously, it would have been nice to see everybody else again, but have you noticed the different levels of fitness between you and everybody else?
I think we're lucky in the fact that we kind of all stuck together, although obviously the season ended. Out of choice, I guess we were doing a lot of fitness together on Zoom throughout the summer. And so I would say actually we're all at a really good level. We've kept ourselves strong. Lots of us have had access to gym. So yeah, I'm really impressed with the level that the girls have come back. Obviously a bit different for me because I've been doing different types of fitness. But yeah, everyone's looking very good. Very excited to see them on court.
Super League, when it eventually gets up and running, it's going to be amazing. You've all done all you can, really, and even you and Lucy swimming in that cold lake to get yourself back.
Yeah, this is a new hobby of ours. It's called Wim Hof. I would suggest strongly to anyone to give it a good go. It's yeah, we have been jumping in freezing waters. Go with a friend, don't go on your own, because that's dangerous. But yeah, we're loving it. It's great. We're exploring. We've recently both moved to Worcester. So, and we're living together. So yeah, we're having every Sunday, we're going to find a new river, and hopefully soon we'll be able to get and roast dinner after when the pubs open again.
The thing is, it's about having that support for everybody. You've had naturally the support of Kieran and Stars as you've gone through this, and maybe a bit of advice for, unfortunately, since the last time we spoke, people might have just discovered and developed the ACL. So have you any advice? I think I asked you this before.
Yeah, I've got a couple of friends that I know in life, but also through social media that have got their like operation soon, and that's always quite a daunting time. Not only because, you know, you want the operation to happen, and in these times you don't know whether you're going to get the call or it's been cancelled, but I think you just have to realise that it's a long slog, but it kind of is progressively does get better. Like, I do think the start's pretty tough. But hopefully, you know, things opening again now, it won't be as bad as trying to recover during like a full national lockdown. But yeah, I'd say just look to others for support. You know, I think something that kind of has helped me along the whole way is that so many people have been through it and come out the other side as better players. And for me, I truly do feel like more of an athlete. It gives you the opportunity to kind of scrape everything back and start from the beginning and just get rid of any bad habits and stuff like that. So maybe just like see it as an opportunity rather than a negative thing. Just got to roll with it.
you come through on the other side a lot stronger through it.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, my numbers in the gym are just like way bigger than they ever were before. I feel much quicker. I can jump higher. And actually this time, because I've felt like quite netball deprived, not only because of my injury, because the league was cancelled, I ended up watching so much of the Suncorp, any netball that I could kind of get my hands on. So just even tactically feel like so ready to go. It's given me an opportunity to develop everything. So I'm really excited to get back on court.
Maddie Brown will be over in the new year joining Rhinos. And she told Sasha the advantages something like Pilates has and how it helped her come back from her ACL.
And do you know what? That's really interesting about Pilates. Do you think that it complements netball really well? Because I've recently sort of started to discover it myself and I'm like, yes, this is so good for like those joints that seem to be battered on the court.
Absolutely. I first got introduced to it when I hurt my knee, my first ACL in 2015. And it was about that strength and resistance training in that non-joint impact way, because you're on either a reformer machine or it's all that body weight and it's fine tuning and working those all little small intrinsic muscles and having control and alignment and all about posture and stuff. And I was like, this really excites me. So I started as a client doing reformer and a little bit of mat. And then I do have a primary school teaching degree. So I was like, I could teach this. I'm really passionate about it. So I went and did a course to become an instructor and have taught it for about 18 months or 2 years now. And yeah, I love it. I think it's so important in kind of building, as I said, that base, building those base muscles to then eventually get into that stronger, heavier weights, lifting and protecting your joints and your body to last as long as it can whilst you're playing netball that is so, as I said, so much on the joints, like it's so heavy on the landings and stuff. So I would be a huge advocate, and I'm loving that you are getting introduced to it. And I don't know, maybe I can take you through a nice hot Pilates session one day. That's what I teach back here. It's in a nice hot room, so it might be good over there in the cold.
Yes, I am so up for that.
We're joined this year by Hannah Hendrick, who's been sharing more about her own story.
Basically, I first ruptured my ACL back in 2015. I was playing regional for one of my local clubs in Southampton called Swan at the time, but I also played for my own local club in Gosport called Gosport Gators, and I'll say in local league netball, really. And I went for an interception and I heard an almighty pop. My knee went both ways and down to the floor I went, and I knew I did something quite significant at that point, not really knowing much about ACLs back then. I was just finishing up at university and it kind of came at the worst time, really. Luckily, I was living with my parents still, so I had amazing support from them, and I was still covered under my mum's medical insurance through her work. So thankfully, I was able to get amazing treatment through the Spire Hospital in Southampton, and it kind of, my recovery went from there, really. I had an amazing surgeon who reconstructed my ACL. I also tore my meniscus. I had a grade 2 tear of my MCL. So I kind of did it really, really well, really. Surgery, my first surgery happened in 2016, and recovery was really slow from my first ACL. My surgeon really wanted me to go all out with my rehab, and I was, 21 at the time, kind of thought I was a bit indestructible and didn't really take it seriously. And obviously now, you know, 4 or 5 years down the line, I regret that massively. So the first injury was a long, long recovery. It took me about a year to get back to playing local league. And I started in going back into goal shooter, whereas my first choice position is goalkeeper, goal defence. Went back into shooter because I knew it wouldn't be as demanding on me. And then I thought, you know what, I feel ready now. I had a brace fitted for my knee. It was a Donjoy brace. My parents thankfully paid for it, you know, a very, very expensive brace. But I felt secure, and I felt like, although I hadn't thrown my all into rehab as much as I probably should have done, I felt strong enough to be able to return. So I went back to Swan, I went for trials, and I said, look, I want to trial for the Hampshire League team rather than going straight into regional. I thought that was a bit more wise, and played with the season with them, felt really strong, felt really good. So I then trialled back to regional, got back in, managed to compete for 2 seasons, and then obviously I've had another injury. So that's where my first injury started, to be honest, and I find myself back again going through it all over for a second time.
Fans, we can almost recognise it, and it's the noise. Is that similar to the players?
Yes.
Is it the pain and associated with it as well? I'm almost crying saying it.
The first time I did it, it was excruciating. I cannot compare anything to it. The second time I did it, which was on the 6th of July this year, I was coaching when I did it, and I felt, because of COVID, I was really unconditioned. I wasn't training. I'd put a bit of weight back on. I was just getting myself back into the swing of working again. And I heard a crunching noise. I didn't quite hear a pop. I heard a crunching noise, and it wasn't as painful. I just knew that something didn't feel quite right, which is what made me think, okay, I've done something here, but I don't actually feel it compares to what I did last time, which made me, you know, made me originally think that I probably hadn't ruptured my ACL second time. So you're very right by saying that there's that significant pop and pain, which I felt the first time when I did my ACL. But the second time was very strange. I what I experienced when I did it was completely different. I was able to weight bear the second time for about a minute or so after I did it. After that, pain started to set in, and it was like a throbbing ache, and I felt like it was going to give way. Maybe it was adrenaline, I don't know, because I was in front of a new audience coaching children from a really lovely private school in the local area, and I was in somebody's house at their tennis court, you know, delivering a private session. I was thinking, oh my God, I do not want these children to know that I've injured myself. How embarrassing. So maybe that played a part, I don't know, but I definitely couldn't compare them. They were completely different the way I did it.
When something like that did happen, how soon did you look at the option for surgery? Was that quite quickly, or was it more a case of taking heed of what happened and maybe read up on loads of advice?
Well, I think it really depends on the person who's going through the injury. So when I first went and had it checked out at the local minor injuries unit in Gosport, obviously they're not specialists. They don't really know what you've done. They x-ray it and say, okay, you've not broken any bones, but x-rays, you can't see soft tissue. They did say that they could see a lot of swelling, so they put me in a stiff brace and referred me over to the fracture clinic, and that's when I got told that it's quite likely that I had ruptured my ACL. And up to that point, obviously I have physio friends, and they said, just prepare yourself just in case. So the amount of pain that you had, the noise that you heard, the instability that you've got, it might be quite likely. So of course I did Google, but I didn't want to try and worry myself too much until I'd actually got the final verdict. So like I said earlier, I was lucky enough to be covered under my mum's medical insurance through work, which meant that I had the luxury to be able to go private. And it was the best decision I ever made, because my process was a lot quicker. I had really good care through my surgeon and the Spire Perform physio team. So he wanted me to do a 3 to 4 month prehab program before going into surgery. And like I said before, I wasn't very good with my rehab, and I didn't take it very seriously. So I therefore didn't take my prehab as seriously as he wanted me to. I managed to maintain some muscle memory, but my muscle mass dropped quite significantly. Once I had my verdict, I kind of knew that I think actually it more came down to the fact that I felt like I was never going to play again, so why should I bother? I've always known about ACLs being a bit of a a long slog recovery, the potential of never getting back to playing and then potentially having long-term arthritis or having knee problems for life. And I kind of just got myself into a little bit of a rut, really, and just went through the motions rather than actually doing it for the right reasons.
Third time it's happened, unfortunately. What's physio been like this time around?
A lot better. I made the mistake of going to a friend before, and I think I therefore wasn't as honest because I knew that I would see them on a daily basis, and if I wasn't doing my rehab properly, I'd feel embarrassed to admit that to a friend. Whereas now I'm going through a different team, a different physio. I feel more, I'm 5 years on, I'm older, I feel more mature. I've got an adult life now. I'm not just at university, I've got a house and I've got other commitments. So, it's way more important. And my physio now is being really, really good. And she's talked to me about what needs to happen, maybe say between the 5 and 9 month mark with regards to ticking off different things with regards to like being able to do landing skills. Once I've been able to do a one-footed jump, if I tick that off, I can then move on to the next stage. Whereas I didn't really go through that before, whether it's because research has changed with regards to ACLs and the protocols that we follow for rehab is different, I don't know. But I do feel a little bit more positive this time with regards to my rehab, and I feel a bit more happy with myself. I worked harder with my prehab. I actually did my prehab this time, and obviously it's a slow burn at the moment, but I am doing my rehab now, and I've got a really good support network at home, and my physio seems really, really useful.
I noticed you were aware of the work that Kate had done on biomechanics. Was that quite interesting to you as well? Bit of an eye-opener?
It was so interesting. Real big eye-opener. And I was laying with my knee up, icing it, waiting to just be able to move around a bit more. This was really close after surgery when I listened to the first podcast that you did. And I thought, this woman sounds amazing. She seems like someone that I would really want to work with, maybe, in my build up to returning to netball again. So I reached out to her and I just said to her, look, that sounded, what you did on the podcast of the Netball Show was amazing. And it really opened my eyes up to the importance of looking at the biomechanics of each individual person. So I'm quite tall. I'm not the biggest defender, but I'm really broad. I wouldn't say I'm slim. I carry a little bit more weight than I probably should do. But you look at me and you probably wouldn't come onto the wrong side of me. My dad was gutted that I didn't take up rugby. I'd be a good back row. And so I have a completely different genetic and biomechanic makeup to somebody else who might have done their ACL. I've always had knee issues as a child. I'm forever spraining my ankles. I've got loose ligaments. I had Oscar Slatters when I was a kid, so I've always had niggles in my knees, so it may contribute. So it's really interesting to see that someone of her speciality would be able to look at that and actually cater a program to an individual person. And that really made me think about taking it a little bit more seriously with my rehab, making sure that I chose the right physio and I know what I need to do to get myself back fully fit to play.
I saw online, and you must explain it, what on earth was that tube and rolling pin all about a few weeks ago?
Oh, so I was trying to be creative. So I was in so much pain and my muscles were so tight because my physio gave me some exercises to do which would work on my glute. So I was trying to build glute activation because she was explaining that if your glutes aren't strong enough, you activate too many of the quad muscles, which counteracts the knee stability. So she said it all comes down to your hips and your glute strength. So I was doing a lot of work on glute strength and I was killing. My muscles were aching. And have you ever tried a foam roller? It's so painful when you do it properly. So instead of laying on the foam roller and like putting all my body weight through my muscles, I thought, why not try and just do it the other way and roll my muscles instead, just to try and get a little bit of relief, but not with the excruciating pain that I was getting through the pressure of my body weight. So I thought I'd just try and be a little bit creative, and I thought it was quite funny, actually. I thought I'd just post it and see if anyone reacted to it.
Last year, we heard from Charlie, and she said that she'd actually named her ACL Dora because she was carrying everything around in a backpack to save her moving about.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Anything as good as that for yourself?
Unfortunately not. I mean, I was creative with the rolling pin and the foam roller, but not creative enough to name my knee. All I do say is that I don't actually feel I have a good knee anymore. Trying to be as positive as I can be, and I feel like I posted about my physio saying that I can start doing my one crutch exercises and I can start trying to walk without my two crutches around the house and trying to even out my weight distribution. But the real thing is, I don't think I'm ever going to have a fully functioning knee, and I need to kind of come to terms with that. So maybe I should find a name for my new ACL and my new different knee.
but that was a good bit of progress that we saw yesterday.
I was really relieved when I saw my physio on Tuesday and she said, you are on track for your recovery. Because I always worry that because of what happened last time and how I took my body and my knee and everything for granted, I want to make sure that I'm doing it better this time and I'm doing it right. So I was always worried that I might be behind. And she said, nope, you've been able to hit 90 degree flexion. You've got really good movement. Although my knee is still quite significantly swollen, she was really, really pleased with the progress that I was making, which really reassured me. So I know that I am taking it more seriously and I feel a bit more proud of myself now. So it was really, really good progress.
Katie Strokes has her own PT company and specialises in biomechanics.
Players are getting fitter, faster and stronger, jumping higher. And with that, the injuries are occurring more frequently. And one of my initial reactions was the game is quite different now to what it was. There is a lot more physical contesting. But actually, most of the ACLs that I've managed to see haven't been through an impact. You know, it's just a landing injury or a cuffing injury. So, you know, is the strength not there for them to be able to cope with it? And then, you know, the other angle of, you know, they're female athletes, obviously. So there's so many things that need to be taken into consideration there. With, are they being assessed biomechanically to see if they have a, you know, maybe they might have an increased risk. Do they know that as players, and are they being identified? And if you haven't got the mobility in your spine and your pelvis or your ankles, it does normally show up in the knees and a knee injury. You know, are they being assessed for these things? Which, you know, it's highly likely they are, but something's going astray somewhere, is my opinion.
Is it something you've seen grow over the past couple of months?
As a netball fan, obviously, yes. And it's surprising that it's the Suncorp Super League where it's happening, because they're the full-time athletes, as I understand, with the access to the coaches, the physios, you know, the real full-time programmes. It's an interesting angle for me, because are they, you know, the players over here in our league? Obviously, you know, it's not the Suncorp Super League. The intensity is higher over there. But our players who don't play full time or train full time, they're actually getting more rest, and so therefore able to cope a bit differently. Is the training load being managed? And the other thing that was brought up, obviously the development of the netball trainers that people are wearing now with the increased grip, which obviously feels great when you're playing, and the big marketing being, well, there's the decreased movement of the trainer, of like the sideways roll, but that lack of movement has to then be accounted for somewhere else. You know, if you've got a grippier shoe, you then will decelerate much faster. It'll be incredibly abrupt, and the knee has to take that, which it can't always, clearly.
Maybe in the Super League, what do you think on players wearing ankle braces?
You know, I think if you have gone over on your ankle and so strained a ligament before, you may feel safer wearing a brace, and that's going to help obviously protect your ankle from happening again. But that could therefore increase your risk of your knee taking that movement. I think if you haven't had a previous injury of your ankles, I don't think it's the best option to tape up your ankles just in case, because it's very rarely that the knee is the cause of something. It's normally the poor middle sister that gets the blame. So I don't see why you would tape up your ankles just in case. But I can see an argument if you're a player with ankles that have historically gone over a few times, you would want to wear a brace.
One of your tweets mentioned pelvis stability.
Yeah, and that's a really, really important factor with an athlete, especially a female athlete. If you don't have full mobility of your pelvis, you won't have stability. And vice versa, without stability, you won't have mobility. So when I had a recent client who did rupture her ACL and went down the surgical route, she had a few physio sessions, but was getting frustrated and sort of upset with her progress. We went right back to the beginning and assessed her biomechanics of her pelvis and her spine. And we had a look at her feet as well. But she wasn't, let's say, optimal in her movement ability around her pelvis and especially her lumbar spine. So my very first point of call with her then was to get that moving and stable. So increasing the movement capability and then making her stronger in all those areas, and doing lots and lots of strength work from every angle of the pelvis. So obviously everyone is really, really popular at the moment. She did lots and lots of glute work, which are, you know, great for stabilizing the knees and the pelvis, but you can't forget about the other areas as well, which is something that I would sort of tentatively question, is every angle being conditioned correctly?
It sounds a really interesting subject, this whole biomechanics. How fascinating is it being able to pass on what you've learned?
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's really fascinating. And as a personal trainer, it has completely changed how I practice, because now when I get injury clients, or obviously post-injury, they want to get back stronger, I explain to them that we are going to go back to the beginning and I assess their movement. You see what their body is able to do, and not everybody is built the same and not necessarily the same from one side to the other. So you can predict, you know, they might be higher injury risk. So you can actually predict that they might be susceptible to an ACL, and then you can work with that. And alongside that, if somebody's knee goes into valgus, which is like the knock-kneed movement of the ACL injury as it happens, there is now a bit of a movement as to training in that injury position. So you're actually putting the knee into that position and then loading it, so it's better able to cope with the stress of being in that position. I think that appears to be quite a new movement. It does seem to be helping and sort of makes sense.
But you will have seen that distraught of obviously not being able to play to that other end where people have actually got through it and got back on court.
Yeah, absolutely. You can come back. It's difficult, but it's absolutely doable. You know, it's time and time of strength training and conditioning and a really sensible progression from isolated strength movements to bounding and hopping and a trainer really watching what the player is doing. It's no point that, you know, the player can't go off and do it by themselves, in my opinion, because the trainer needs to be watching and seeing, okay, well, you're not quite right in that landing position. And it's really challenging them because these players are getting so fatigued, so they still have to be able to land safely, even when mentally and physically exhausted. I spend a lot of time mentally supporting my clients, saying that please be patient. It's not a linear process. 1 week you'll be better. 1 week you might feel like you might have gone backwards a little bit. That's completely normal. And reassuring them all the time, just be patient. It's worth the process. You can't rush rehab.
Daniel Laverpoort is Head of Strength and Conditioning at London Pulse, and he's been looking at this with Chloe.
Just to like unpick strength and conditioning a bit further, because it's obviously an enormous area and one, you know, they go hand in hand, but they are separate. Could you perhaps make the case for it? So why should we take it seriously? What impact or what consequences does it have for netball? You know, why is it that it matters?
Yeah, great question. Now, if you open any textbook or speak to pretty much any S&C coach, it comes back to two main things. And the first one is improving performance. And the second one is preventing injuries. Now, although I said performance comes first, that isn't necessarily your number one priority. You know, potentially if you're going to stack either of those two priorities, preventing injuries is number one. And of course, if a player's injured and on the sideline, they're unable to perform and can't contribute to anything that's happening in the team. So, you know, you have this massive role to ensure players are healthy and well and able to train and also able to withstand the demands of the game. And whereas some people might perceive netball as being, you know, I hate to use the word, like a softer sport, or, you know, not quite as intense or challenging as other sports, you know, when you look at the injury risk of the sport, as well as a ton of other factors, but you know, we're talking about injury here, when you look at the injury risk of the sport, it potentially carries the highest injury risk of most of our, you know, mainstream and well-known team sports, and principally because of the two-step rule and that requirement to abruptly decelerate your body mass within two steps. And that requires a lot of strength. A lot of things can go wrong. And when things do go wrong in netball, we tend to see more serious injuries than in other sports as well. So as an S&C coach in netball, you've got this great opportunity to really try and influence the game by preventing missed time due to injuries and serious injuries. And then look, when it comes to performance, I really feel the game is won in those most intense and most fatiguing moments. Often, you know, it's the fourth quarter, which determines the score. You know, you have high aerial intercepts, which change a game, speed through the midcourt, and S&C can have this massive influence on all those moments.
There's plenty of advice out there. Do reach out to someone, and thank you for your support.
Just wanted to extend a huge thank you from everybody at England Netball for your ongoing support and really throwing a spotlight on our brilliant game.
You've always been a huge supporter of netball in Northern Ireland and definitely our players across the franchises as well.
You've really helped take our sport to new audiences.
Thanks to you for your continued support, and thanks to everyone out there in social media land who is keeping netball alive, and just keep doing what you're doing, because we need you now more than ever.